The Gazette News Group worked hard throughout New York's primary election day Tuesday with staffers in five counties talking to voters, election inspectors, and the candidates themselves. After a late night and a little rest, I sat down with staff reporters Erica Buska and Ted Remsnyder in the podcast studio to talk about their night, the results, and what the future holds, including several unknowns. Here are my friends to tell you all about it.
So how's the election hangover?
The coffee is still kicking in. But last night, you know, we had at least answers pretty quickly. It was before midnight, so we're hanging on to that.
So I am here with the lovely Erica Buska, who was doing double, triple duty.
Mm-hmm.
And you were reporter mentor.
Yes.
On election night. So what races were you at and what was the TikTok of going from one to two to three to figuring out what everybody else did?
Well, I was with our lovely intern, Jill. So we were tag teaming to a couple places last night. We started downtown just talking to some voters, moved on to the watch party for Sarah Rogerson, who won her Democratic primary against Patrick Nelson for the 44th Senate District. And then we moved over to Rachel Ward's watch party, where she was up against the incumbent council member, Justin Chairs, for the Schenectady City seat. We got there right about as she found out that she had lost her bid, and then ended up going back to Rogerson's to watch her announce her victory. So
the we kidded around about that is yeah. That you kind of got like you the plan was to get Rachel prior
before we knew the results. Yes.
So tell everybody the story on the Stan and Friends podcast here of how that went down as a reporter busting through the doors to see a candidate.
Yeah. So she had her watch party at Uncle Ben's Tavern downtown. And we walked in and just kind of grabbed somebody and said, "Hey, do you know where Sarah is?" And they're like, "Yeah," but you could tell they weren't exactly happy. And we got to the back of the room where Ward was. And she just kind of said, "Thanks for coming. It looks like, you know, we lost." And then we just waited a few minutes and then she gave her concession speech. But only 54 votes. So obviously a pretty tight race.
And then there's confusion because we thought there would be a Justin Chairs election night event and end up being kind of a quiet affair.
Yes.
And then you got the win.
Right.
Literally with Justin.
Yeah. So he told us, he told me later that night when I spoke to him that he had found out from us that he had won. And his gathering was a private one, so there weren't people there. But he said, you know, I asked him what that moment was like when he found out. And he said, you know, "I'm with my mom, I'm with my dad, I'm with the people who've lifted me up in Schenectady since I was a little kid. You know, it's a really validating moment," which I'm paraphrasing, of course, but it was a great to hear that other side when we had gotten to hear the sad concession as we arrived as the arbiters of bad news. So,
it's hard, you know, you don't get that both sides of the race too often. Usually, no. Again, I was out in Fulton County, so I was with the Anthony Constantino, and then Tom McAdam was with Bob Smullen out there. So it's sometimes in Saratoga. Mm-hmm. With those races, they'll literally be like across the street. And it's like you're watching the results come in and you're like, okay, percentage wise, look close. So you're bouncing back and forth. You had some heavy lifting. I mean, as the right now Schenectady County reporter covering everything. And then you had Sarah Rogerson, and that was kind of the handliest one.
Yes.
Of that. And then the night didn't end.
No.
And you've got some quandaries in the little towns.
Yeah, we've got some questions. You know, it was tight in Schenectady, even though Rogerson pretty handedly won. But in Scotia, we had a race for two open trustee seats. And the total votes were 32. And so one of our incumbents, Heather Gray, got 7 votes. The other incumbent, Keith Brown, got 6 votes. And their challenger got 19 votes. And according to election law, you have a mandatory recount when there's a 20-vote difference. So I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to have to call the Board of Elections and see what's the rules. But I'm sure they're also probably scratching their heads as to what to do with a one vote difference on who gets this party line.
The party line for there. And then as much as election night is over, this was pregame.
Yeah.
This is the kickoff
to
the run up to November.
Yeah.
So what'd you think? What'd you learn for this one, you know, in a different area? Because you were up north with our friends at the Saratogian and Troy Record, fans of the podcast. Thank you, Emma. The different, anything different down here than it would be up in Saratoga from, or in Troy? I mean, the drama was a little bit less maybe from what you've had in the past.
Maybe just a little. For Troy especially, we don't really have runoffs for primaries. It's mostly the Democrats have their folks, the Republicans have their folks. But this is the first time in a city where everyone is one party. So there's going to be a contentious primary. So this was kind of the first race where, historically speaking, if we look back, Chairs is likely to win his seat in November because he won the Democratic nomination. So that was interesting.
Be ready for the breather.
Yeah.
Until we get... I mean, I don't know. Is there a date when this heats up, or is this going to heat up Monday?
I don't know. From what I spoke to the winning candidates, a couple of them, Rogerson said she's going to take a breath and then they're going to go back into it. Cherish just said he's ready to keep going. So it seems like we're just going to have it continue on. I expect it'll pick up again in August, probably. Yeah. Particularly in the Senate race.
I was going to say, like, Justin Cherish is on the city council.
Yeah.
And that's, so he's there. He had a position until, and then he, you know, now he's going to run again in November. So there's work to be done amongst the city council. And then we'll see that Rogerson Tedesco, as we'll see the Blake.
The governor?
The Gobley, the.
Oh, Blake Gendebeden.
Gendebeden, yes, which I will eventually get right before November against Anthony Constantino. And then. If it's a Rogerson Tedesco, and then we have Blakeman, Hochul at the big level and things like that. And then whatever else, again, which didn't have to be decided yesterday, will get underway. What was your words of advice for young Jill?
Mostly just to approach people and just ask them, hey, do you want to chat? And she got turned down a few times. I did too. But honestly, it was just, hey, there's a bunch of people. Somebody's going to say yes. And so we were just kind of sitting there and, you know, waiting for folks to arrive and just trying to take it as best we could when there's a lot of races to be juggled. So.
All right. What was the caffeine count yesterday?
Caffeine count? Just one coffee, 24-ounce coffee, but at 3, which is abnormal for me.
Okay.
And I did start feeling it at like 4 that I needed more coffee, but I held strong so that when I got home, I was out. So,
and then today you've already kicked it off with one.
I've kicked it off with one. I'm hoping it keeps me through the day because I don't like to double dip on caffeine, but I think I'm going to have to reach for something this afternoon. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. You too.
All right. I'm here with Ted Remsnyder on the Stan and Friends podcast. How is the primary election hangover going today?
Pretty good. We actually got out of there, as you know, a little earlier last night than expected because Anthony Constantino declared victory around 10 p.m. So we were out of there before midnight, which was a positive. So I take that as a victory. I got home before 1 a.m.
So obviously, I had this with Erica. Erica was fortunate enough, like, her races in Schenectady were like so close, physically located, that she was able to bounce around. You and I were out in Fulton County at Lansing's on the Lake for the Anthony Constantino watch party and things like that. And then Todd McAdam was over with Robert Smullen for that watch party. What did you think? I mean, we're outsiders, we're spectators, we're informed spectators. Anything surprise you out of the race? I mean, where were you, you know, handicapping this? What were you thinking?
I was thinking that Constantino was going to get a solid victory, but his margin, it was 20 last I saw, was a little higher than I expected. It seemed like he had all the momentum, particularly since the Trump endorsement in April. I think that really flipped the race. Smullen had endorsement from a lot of the state Republican establishment, including about a dozen county GOP committees. But once Trump weighed in, that really, Constantino had based his whole campaign around being a Trump supporter. And once Trump had actually given him his seal of approval, I think that really flipped everything. It was really hard for Smullen to overcome that. It didn't help that debate in May when Smullen refused to shake Constantino's hand at the end. Kind of made him look like the smaller person. So I think the race had been kind of, the writing had been on the wall for a while, but it was a larger margin of victory than I had anticipated.
How about for this primary, and you, again, you just like literally walked in the door.
I stumbled in.
How was the turnout? How was the voter turnout? Was this active? Was this an excitable race?
It was good turnout. I haven't seen the numbers were still being tallied as of this morning, but I think the turnout was good. Yeah, the turnout was up. Particularly for the New York 21, there was a lot of media attention on it, and there was a lot of advertising because Constantino's put over $7 million. He's the Sticker Mule CEO, if people don't know. He's put over $7 million of his own money into this race. And I was watching the U.S. Open Golf on Sunday and on NBC, and every commercial break, it was a Constantino commercial. So he really flooded the market with commercials, and Smullen couldn't keep up with that. But there was a lot of interest, I think.
One thing that happened, and I know Angel, our intern, who's with us for the summer, doing a lot of video with the audience team, and it was a conversation I had up in Saratoga that, and I believe Colin even mentioned it, is that you had voters going to polling places looking to vote in that primary, but it's not their district. Is that surprising, or is it surprising? Is this because the media attention has become a little bit of a household battle, or is it just one poll inspector was like, literally it was the get off my lawn. It was like, you don't even know who your representative is. So what was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it might have just been the advertising. I mean, our own Daily Gazette website, it has had Constantino banners on it for months. And, maybe some people in Schenectady will see that and think that that's the race that pertains to them. So I could see the media coverage and the marketing kind of seeps through, and people, don't even realize that that's not even, who they're voting for. But that's understandable. When you see all the ads and everything, it just becomes part of the noise.
I know heading into last night's Republican primary, both candidates were asked if they lost, would they run as an independent, or in the case of Bob Smullen, the conservative line. I think going in, both were, we're going to win Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Now that proverbial dust has settled, I saw Bob Smullen's comments last night were that, he acknowledged that he is on the conservative line and that he'll take a couple days to evaluate and things like that. Thoughts on if he would continue to run on that conservative line and look to garner the seat in that aspect? And what kind of impact do you see, come November? Because I think you get a breather for a couple weeks before this starts all over again.
I think that he will eventually drop off of that. And it might not take long because the Republican Party in Washington is going to want, put the pressure on him to step aside because they don't want to lose that seat to Blake Gendebien, the Democratic nominee. So I think he'll get pushed aside if he doesn't, willingly leave the race. And he's a lifelong Republican. He's a member of the state assembly, obviously. I don't think he's going to want to burn bridges with the overall party, even though a lot of the established Republicans in New York aren't thrilled with Constantino, the establishment, a lot of the elected officials and committee party chairs. I don't think it would do well for Smullen if he wants to run again sometime down the road. To play that spoiler role is, just a petty thing to do. I mean, there's a lot of bad blood in this race, so it could have tipped over to that point where he won't want to step aside, but I think he eventually will, just for career preservation. I don't think it's a smart move to stay on that.
And we've got Ted Remsnyder here with the Daily Gazette with the Community Journalism Fund, our government and our politics and government reporter here. We were at the, as we said, with Constantino watch party last night, and one thing that was interesting out of Anthony Constantino's speech, he kind of declared victory. It was more like, what are we up by?
It took him a while to get to the point where he declared victory. He was like, he was waiting for more. He talked for about 10 minutes, I think, before he, you know, basically said, we won.
Right. It was a lot of thank yous.
Yeah.
And a little bit different Anthony Constantino we've seen in the past, a little bit more emotional.
Yeah, he got choked up when he talked about his late father.
And that
was part of it.
And then talked about the race. I think from seeing conversations that you've had with Anthony Constantino, and I've just been around as a photographer and seeing things, he was pretty gracious with Bob Smullen and the race itself. That kind of surprised me because I didn't know if he had it in him, but I thought that was pretty respectful.
Yeah, I was surprised by that too. He basically was gracious towards Smullen and immediately started attacking Jenda Bean. So he like still had someone to attack. It was like he got his graciousness out there and moved on. And then it was like, well, I'm not going to be too gracious because then he just went after Jenda Bean for 5-10 minutes. So I think he's, you know, and I think we've seen Trump even do that in the past where he'll win an election or he'll even talk about like, you know, Hillary Clinton positively after an election, which is surprising. But yeah, he was gracious towards Smullen in a surprising way, but then he immediately went in on Jenda Bean. So that's going to be the next 5 months here is attack, attack, attack.
And you kind of like had the same role, switched roles because for a long period of time, together, you were the Schenectady City reporter. So, you know, the running joke I like to portray, whether it's funny or not, is, you know, Schenectady City politics, the gift that keeps on giving. So, you know, Erica Busca was in on that in the Nisky, you know, the state Senate race for the Republican, or excuse me, the Democratic primary, Sarah Rogerson there. And then obviously, Schenectady City Council had a primary there with Justin Chairs and Rachel Ward. So you're still watching it a little bit? Or because, I mean, this, you know, the 21st is taking up a ton of oxygen.
Yeah, I wrote occasionally about a preview of that race as well. And there was an article I did that created a bit of a stir about Justin the Democratic Party in the city was accusing Justin Chairs of falsifying some parts of his resume. He ended up surviving last night by 54 votes. That was a really tight race. Interesting. I figured he would win because he was the incumbent and more of the known quantity. But and he's going to be the heavy favorite against the Republican candidate Sarah Ibrahim, who's another political neophyte. So he's strongly favored to win one more year to fill the term of Joe Mancini, who left last summer. So. And then if he wins that, then he might run again for a full 4 years after that. But yeah, it was a close race. And it was surprising that Rachel Ward was down 54 and just conceded immediately. But they must know that there's, you know, not enough write-in votes or anything to really have any chance to flip it. So, but yeah, that was a close race.
For me, again, you know, a jack of all trades, so really not specializing in anything. When we look towards November, is the double feature going to be the Constantino Blake race along with the Rogerson Tedesco race? Are those like the is that the double header we're going to see, you think?
Yeah, those are the two interesting ones. And I think Rogerson Tedesco's been in there 6-7 terms. I think she has a chance, particularly if there is, I mean, both of these candidates, Jenda Bean and Rogerson, are going to be on the ballot alongside Kathy Hochul, who's going to be, you know, a solid favorite against Bruce Blakeman, the Republican candidate. So, and there could be a blue wave, you never know, in a midterm election. So I think Rogerson, just total speculation, has a good chance at flipping that seat. And Jenda Bean probably has a chance of flipping the Stefanik seat, but Constantino is going to be hard to overcome because he's the guy with, you know, a lot of the momentum and a lot of the attention right now, but you never know what could happen in the next few months.
So was talking to Erica, Sarah Rogerson said she's going to take a break. And then, you know, move on with the campaign. What's Tim Remsleiter do? Do you get Thursday off because you got work to do today for the recap? And then you're like, I can't wait for the weekend. And then wash, rinse, repeat. And then you hit the ground running on Monday? Or
No, we're going to do a an overview of the 21 race today for Thursday's paper, and we'll see what we're doing after that. But yeah, it's going to be full on for the next few months here. So there's not much time for a break. But yeah, the campaign's kind of reset now for a few days. It's like they got to get their strategies together and start get their ads up and everything. So I'm sure Constantino won't take long to start going after Jenda Bean more.
And then are you like every five-year-old boy and girl, like you can't wait for Christmas because that means all this will be settled hopefully by Christmas?
By November, yeah. And hopefully we can get a debate this time because we want to debate with Constantino, Jenda Bean, maybe Rogers and Tedesco, and we want to be involved in it. So we got, you know, Constantino and Smolnik ended up doing one last-minute debate on CBS6. It was agreed to that morning after he had turned down a bunch of other debates, including ours. So hopefully we can – he said he'll do a general election debate with us, so we want to hold him to that.
Gotcha. And then obviously, you know, Jim Tedesco and Sarah Rogerson also being awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I think two quality – I mean, and now Rogerson's gaining, I think, as a known candidate, and so that'll be interesting to see. So, again, everything that you see Ted write as part of the Community Journalism Fund is with the Daily Gazette is in front of our paywall. It's always free to read. So please do that. Don't be afraid to hit the subscribe button to get everything that the Daily Gazette news group provides throughout its breadth of newspapers throughout the, I'm going to say Northeast now, because it seems like we're just growing all the time. So we're getting new additions all the time, which is a great place to be at. So Tim Remsnyder, government politics reporter with the Community Journalism Fund here at the Gazette. Stan and friends, and if it happens, look for it on Thursdays. Thanks, Ted.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening, and thanks to all of my friends, old and new, who have made this possible.
Thomas Demopoulos, journalist.
John McIntyre. And it is publisher of The Spotlight.
Chad Arnold, reporter with the Daily Gazette.
Rita Garrett-Hoodie, a.k.a. Mrs. Stan or Stan's wife.